All right, guys, we are here. We kind of took a break. We used to do these Saturday morning dates every Saturday. And then we stopped and then we brought them back. And then I've been sick for the last couple weekends. I got the flu.
It was like a deep, yeah.
Yeah, I got the flu. So I'm trying to like make it through a sentence without coughing. but we're back. And if you don't know what Saturday morning dates are, they're just a conversation between like me and Chris about family, marriage, business, kids. As you saw the title of this, what did you name the title of this?
If they think it's icky, then don't poop.
Then don't poop. Chris picked this title because of I was taking a shower, so he went to use one of the other bathrooms in the house.
And we found a little surprise in there. But it's always been just an ongoing joke. And I think it's, I don't know. I thought it was, one, is it's real. And two, there's some undertones of, you know, just kind of expectations in business too. So I kind of wanted to roll into that. And yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've been doing a lot. So I excuse my coughing. We've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes. Yesterday was an especially hard day for me. If you guys saw my post about having to let somebody go with possibly the opportunity to reposition them, but they have to prove it to us.
Yeah.
And my post got a ton of traction. And, you know, this is one of the sucky parts of business. And, you know, it wears you down, you know, having to look at letting someone go. They're a great person. You love them, but they're just not performing that well. And, you know, I'll be honest with you guys, the COVID money's over. The leads falling in your lap, that's over. The extremely high paid office staff, you could replace most of them for a new set level of pay.
Yeah.
You know, because back during COVID, we were paying people an astronomical amount of money. And that's all kind of reset. And the reason I let this person go didn't necessarily have to do with money, but with being tenure and performance and just expecting more and trying to coach someone and trying to help someone. But you just felt they lost the love for the job.
Yeah.
And it affects you. It affects your family. It does affect you. You might say it's just business, but it does affect you. It's tiring. It wears you down. The constant babysitting isn't something that you feel you should be doing at that stage.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yesterday was an exceptionally hard day for me for that reason.
Yeah.
This person had been with us for 4 years, 4 years, lots of things going on.
So, and I wanted to touch base back on what you talked about with just a few situations that happened recently. And there's a statement or a phrase that's circulating, and it's kind of similar in the same light, and it's about employer-employee relationships, but it's no longer a dress for the job you want. It's dress for the job you want to keep.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I mean, that's it's a new phrase for a lot of people.
And this really popped up recently because of the emergence of AI, all this uncertainty of what's happening. Like you said, is the post-COVID hiring world and kind of what to expect. And so people are really starting to kind of split or torn between, well, for employers, like decisions.
So we just had a meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
With all of our team and our virtual specialists. So if you use us for your virtual assistant, we just did a training yesterday with them on AI training. But we also had our WooRecruit team in there, our Liberty Lution team, our VS team. We had everyone. Well, every 4 weeks, we have an all hands meeting. If you're using any of our products, our employees get trained, our staff gets trained.
Yeah.
What did we train? What was my speech at the beginning about AI and Google?
Yeah, I can't say it verbatim because I don't remember it. It was, you're talking about two types of businesses, right?
Yeah, no, two lanes in business going forward. Yeah. And Google just did mass voluntary layoffs when it came to, they're going to be an AI forward company. And if someone in the company doesn't align with that vision, they're doing mass voluntary layoffs.
Yes. They called it an AI first movement or approach. Mm-hmm. And with that, it's really making sure. And I think this more so goes into their corporate level or C-suite level.
I would agree with you. But as a small business owner, that's where I go. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
for my sales, for my ops manager.
And so it's flowing down and cascading down into like from frontline and things like that, but it's not quite there yet. But it's going top down in terms of AI first. And so with the speed of AI, and I think where Google's going is that they want to make sure that everybody is not just tech enabled, but AI enabled because of the amount of speed and efficiency that it can bring. But it's just getting people used to it, that the tools and adoption.
The adoption, yeah.
And so what we ended up doing yesterday for our team was we did a 10-minute tactic on prompt mastery. Because yep. What we told the team, and this is what we share as well, is it's no longer going to be in terms of the specialization that you have that's going to be most important going forward, because I had a specialization, and once I stepped out of that industry, it meant nothing. But there was some basic fundamentals underneath of it that were valuable. And so I said, it's not going to be the specialization in, let's just say, coding or other technical know-how that's going to be important, but it's going to be how well you can structure. I think you said it best. It was being able to really tell a story in depth. And being able to ask the right questions and prompt the right scenarios to get the perfect answer out of AI.
Yeah. So yesterday we had a prompt mastery class for your virtual assistants, if you're using us for your virtual assistants, for our WooRecruit Sherpas so they could get better outputs, for our marketing team so they could get better marketing output, for our sales team, even for our tech team. So our tech team. as well, but that's where the future is going. AI is going to be as common as having electricity in your house. So like your employees, imagine hiring an employee that doesn't have electricity. How would they even do their job? They wouldn't be able to. That is where the like immersion of AI is going when it comes to hiring and even keeping people.
Yeah.
That is the future. Not will be the future. It currently is. The future.
Yeah.
It is the current state and the future coming, even for cleaning companies, guys. This morning, my salesperson is working and we're using AI to craft a spring cleaning special. Mm-hmm. If you're not in our, if you're not using our AI, which is Leia, because I've preloaded it with some Alex Ramosi awesome prompts for sales.
Yeah.
You're falling behind.
Yeah.
You're falling behind, but I want to get back on the dress for the job you want to keep.
Yes.
Not the job you want, which is an interesting theory because we were all taught to dress for the job we want.
Yeah. So I think what's happening, like for me, I just want to give my notes, and I see businesses evolving now.
Oh, so why don't you give me a little context about the role I just pushed you into?
Okay. so yeah. So
literally pushed him into this role.
So basically what Libby ended up really doing and pushing me into is, pushing me into.
Wait, before I say it, here works with their spouse or like a partner? Just if you're watching the replay, you could do it now. You can put I in the chat, but here's the thing I posted the other day, like the cheat code in life is marrying someone who is your cheerleader, even behind the scenes. Who pushes you to be better, who sees something in you that you may not see right now, but you can see it. And I saw something in Chris because we do have software. So like CellConvert Clean is a pure software. We built and coded Leia, which is 1LD AI, or Leia's the agent inside of there. We built that from the ground up. We're not sitting on a white label. We built the code from the ground up. And when I saw this emerge, I saw a skill in Chris, but I don't think he saw it in himself necessarily.
No.
So I pushed him into this role, and you've been doing it for a little while now.
Yeah. And so it's really leaning into vibe coding, and really it's about, I guess, the mastery of being able to take a concept and, like we said, is to kind of pull it into existence. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not just the end all be all with that, but what it's doing is there's a statement of you just got to know a little, but don't know it all. Otherwise, you're going to be doing it. But this is the idea of understanding the fundamentals of like the new AI, emergence of AI, and how it can help you speed up, accelerate the outcome. And so for me, it's through coding and learning through that way, so that I can now be AI forward as well. and make better decisions that I have a basis. I understand how things work. I understand the whole scope of things. I have a sparkly creative brain. And being able to stack on just the understanding of how things work.
And you were somewhat resistant at the beginning. You kept making excuses to get,
yeah, to get started.
To
I'm
get
not
started.
Ready.
Started.
Yeah.
I'm preparing. I'm not ready yet.
Yeah. But I dove in and I have my own rhythms that I have to follow for deep work for me to get into it. And I had to kind of short circuit that practice, which was like, I have to wait for the perfect moment to dive in.
And here I come. I'm like, what's your perfect moment? Because I will create it for you.
Yeah. And so I ended up kind of short-circuiting that deep work mode that I go into. I call it execution mode. And I had to find a way to jump into it much faster. And I think that was honestly something that was really hard for me.
Well, I also had to give you an ultimatum.
Yeah.
It's funny because Taylor Matthews asked me my story about letting someone go. And she's like, was it Chris? I'll hire him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
It wasn't Chris this time, but it got close because I had to threaten him.
Yeah.
I had to threaten you.
Right.
Like I knew that if he could start this project, and it was the vibe coding. It was, you know, if he could do it, if he could start it, he would kill it. I could see it in him. I knew it. But he kept making excuses to get started. He needed the perfect moment. He needed the house to be quiet. He needed like certain things. And finally, I just had to tell him. And so if you work with your spouse, then you know where I'm coming from, guys. I had to say, either you're going to do this or I have to find someone else.
Yep. And that wasn't an option.
Like, I don't care either way, but the project, because we're doing an entire rebuild of Woot Recruit. Just to be honest with you guys, that's what we're rebuilding. We're going to reveal the entire new Woot Recruit, at CleanCon. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling him, I'm like, I don't really care if you're the one that does it. I want you to do it because you understand it more than anyone. But if you can't do it, that's fine. I'll outsource it to someone else. And then that's when you learned that perfect moment like didn't exist.
You had to make it a perfect moment.
Yeah. We have Heather on here and Marcy. Hey, guys. Alicia. But and then so from the vibe coding, we are now like teaching our own staff. So we have four.
We're four in the works.
Yeah. We have four vibe coders, which is all AI. Like it's not all AI, but it's extremely AI driven that we're turning account managers, tech support, customer success people into vibe coders.
And so this, and I'm going to clarify that for people and understand what, like why and where we're going and go back to the topic that you talked about, which was the emergence of AI and where people currently sit in terms of typical or traditional roles in business. You have people who are customer centric, people focused.
They're people.
You have people who currently do certain tasks or functions that are essentially, it's the bridge. You have people who are the bridge, who kind of help to go from, you know, action to delivery of service. You have schedulers and things like that. And then you have the people who are on the back end who are really kind of getting things set up.
Building workflows,
doing things. And for those that are in software, really you're talking about coding and things like that.
Or technical support.
Or technical support.
Yeah.
And so what you talked about was that through this, I guess, typical spectrum of business, what AI is doing is it actually is cutting out the middle, meaning that AI is slowly taking over the bridge in every industry, every business, meaning that it's speeding up the idea to outcome. But that being said, is that the people who are sitting currently in the bridge for any business or any role, depending on the industry, it's going faster or slower. Whoever is sitting inside of that bridge, those roles will no longer exist in the near future.
I would say by December.
And so what we're doing here is, it's not saying...
When I say by December, I'm saying for all companies by December, not just my company, by December.
Yeah.
That bridge will have collapsed.
Yeah. Or been taken over. Not collapsed, but rebuilt. And rebuilt without humans.
Well, collapsed because it's not going to need a human.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I gave the speech yesterday. So if you have a VS from us, they heard my speech yesterday. You have to, you know, pick your lane in the future of every business. I don't care where you work. I don't care if you're in cleaning or if you're in software. We're going to have people, which are people-centric, customer success, build relationships, the Marias of the world, right? Or you're going to have to be a tech-focused person, which is tech, AI, workflows, automations. The bridge is the middle. And I said, if you're undecided and you don't pick the lane, you're still in the middle.
Yeah.
Pick the bridge, and we're going to give you the training. We'll give you more customer success training, or we'll give you more AI and tech training. But you got to pick the lane that you want to be in, because that bridge will not exist anymore because AI and technology will consume it.
But here's the thing, is that we didn't just say pick either or. It's if you pick, you have to commit, and you have to commit hard. There is no softly saying, yep, I'll try it out. It's a full commit. Like, I'm going to obsess over understanding and learning this and consuming it and pulling it into my world. Same with people. It's the same thing. Is now you have to be hyper-focused on the customer-centric, sharpen that skill. But we're giving people the options of seeing where they want to gravitate towards and fit. Mm-hmm. In not just our business, but any business.
Yep.
And we are empowering them to be able to start to make that shift now before it's too late.
Yeah. And so we're giving them the trainings. Like yesterday we did prompt mastery training for all of our virtual assistants and our recruit team members. We did it for everybody.
Yeah.
Because why? If you have a virtual assistant, they need to know AI. It will accelerate the outcome. It's not giving more output, it's giving better output.
Yeah.
Right? The same thing with the Sherpa. If you have WootRecruit, your Sherpas need a better output. So we're focusing on giving that technical training, that AI, the prompt, the mastery, the tools. I just had a meeting with our marketing team and marketing and sales. And I asked every one of them, what AI tool are you using and how are you using it? I want to know their feedback. I want to know, and if they're not using any, that should be a concern, guys. You need to make sure you're interviewing your current staff. Even soon, we'll be down to your cleaning technicians. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it can give them the answer faster. It can give them a better answer. It's not about more output, it's about better output.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say that Leia AI, our AI that we now have a profile for cleaning technicians. So your cleaning technicians can get the answer to how do we clean an oven? Like, there's no looking at Google Docs and asking the chat. Leia can tell them exactly how you clean an oven.
Yeah.
Or how you clean a refrigerator.
So here's where it gets really, really interesting is that AI has, or I'm sorry, not AI, but exponential organizations, companies that are growing at an incredible amount of speed.
Exponential organization, the definition, well, it's a unicorn company. It's $100 million in 10 years. That's the definition of an exponential organization.
And an exponential organization typically has a doubling period that happens in a certain amount of time to where it becomes an exponential. Because again, if you double at every quarter, you'll end up not seeing a linear curve, but you'll have this extreme growth. Those are your Ubers, your Amazons.
And my goal, because cleaning is a linear business, that means it's a one for one. I just read somebody's post the other day. They hired 5 new cleaners, but they hired 2 new office people, which is great, but that's linear. Exponential is like, it's not a one for one. I can keep hiring cleaning technicians, but I don't need as much office staff to manage them. And so my goal with Leia, our AI, is that we can start to we could grow without needing to consume the overhead.
Yeah. And this is where I want to go with this is originally it started with software companies that had this definition of exponential organizations or this potential, which is being able to grow at that scale or that speed. And what they achieved when they have it, they achieve adaptability, flexibility, and speed. But what we're seeing now is with the emergence of AI and how consumer ready it is now those 3 qualities are now starting to bleed into the people aspect, the human aspect. So now what we're seeing is that the keys that you want to be able to look at for your team and for people is the consumption of AI and the consumption of technology and information and understanding how to get it is they're going to have adaptability. They're going to have flexibility. And they're going to have speed. So when you look at these, again, this is a little bit further out, but these frontline employees as well, is they're going to need an element of consumption of at least understanding using.
Here's the thing. They're using it.
Yeah.
They're using it. They're using Sora. My son's 17. They're playing with Sora.
Yeah.
They're making videos. My niece, she's Channing. How old is she? She's, I don't know. She's got 4 kids, so she must be like almost 30. She's using AI all the time to make this stupidest videos about her family, but they're hilarious, or graphics about like her family. Like she's just using it. She's a stay-at-home mom, but they are using it.
Yeah. But what I see with people who are consuming AI and using it like that, like with Sora and everything else, is there's an element of adaptability, flexibility, and speed that comes with that, because it's kind of that sparkly side of being willing to dive in and create something or do something. And so the same thing goes with customer support and customer service, is that if you have people who are leaning into it, then they might be able to kind of transition or lean into it more when it comes to teaching them, hey, by the way, this can also help you. What you're doing right now can also help you in business or help you in your job to make it exponentially easier. Are you game?
So there's a great question. And so I'm middle-aged. I feel like I am not old, but I'm old-ish, old-esque. I don't think you need to try to understand all of AI. It's growing so fast that you won't be able to understand all of it. But for my older business owners, and let's just say older is anywhere in their 40s and 50s, right? This can be a scary thing. It can be a scary thing. I didn't want to get into AI, so we own software. And I had told Chris, I don't want to get into the AI game because I feel like it's a race to the bottom. From a software owner standpoint, we were still using it in our companies. I'm like, I don't want to get in this game. It's a race to the bottom. And then I had a mentor who kind of set me straight. His name's Mark Bradley. He owned LMN, a super, super great guy. And he kind of set me straight. He said, Libby, you're stupid. If you're not doing this, you have the data, the information, and the know-how for your industry. Well, yeah, Leia's great for cleaning because it's made by me, a cleaning company owner, for cleaning companies. But we also have a lot of data for like pest control and window washing and power washing. When it comes to the AI, I didn't understand it either for the most part. But the thing is, if you feel a little bit like it's over your head, maybe because we're in a different age bracket versus someone like my 17-year-old using Sora. I don't even know what Sora is now, but like, I didn't know what it was, you know, months ago. Yeah, like, Yaya, what's your favorite AI right now? What's your favorite AI that you're using?
Grok.
So she's using Grok. She has her own AI account, and we're soon going to make a Leia for kids, so that if your kids want to start a business, because all of ours is business, centric, our AI.
Yeah. What's your AI's name?
Well, it's Grok, but I asked it like, what is its name instead of Grok, and it said Ara.
Yep. So she's using Ara. That's her AI buddy.
It reminds me of Ari.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. I had the privilege of being in a room with Dan Martell when OpenAI, when ChatGPT first came out, before most people even had access to it. We had access to it. And the first thing I did was give organize it. They're all of their own accounts. We signed up. So they all had their own accounts, including my mother. And I said, I need you to learn this tool. I need you to practice using it. So stop thinking that you need to know everything. So for Karen and Heather, you don't need to know everything. And give your team the tools. Leia, our AI was made for your team. Yeah. I need you to open the account because you're going to own the brain. but give it to your team. Tell them, use this, ask it questions, spark your curiosity. You don't need to know everything. I made an entire AI and I don't even know how to code.
Yeah.
Like I just told Alfredo, I'm like, I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. I want this. I want that. And I don't need to understand it. I just need to tell them what I want the output to be. And so the same thing goes with your cleaning company staff, your office staff. You don't need to understand it. Just tell them, here's a tool that will help you do your job. Use it. Tell me every week, ask them, what's your feedback? How did you use it? Do you like it? I don't want you to think you need to understand it.
No, and I just want to circle back to what you said, because I was sitting on this for a while. And for Heather and for whoever else, is the one thing that needs to be true in order for you to get started or get up to speed or whatever you want to call it, is to be curious. I told Yaya this earlier today. Especially with, she has a fear of bees.
She is so scared to death of bees.
And I explained why, and she's like, but you'll sit there and actually look, come with me and actually look at her, them pollinating on the flowers and stuff. And why are you scared of them outside of that? And she said, well, because when I'm paying attention and I look at them, I'm not afraid. But when I see them from afar, I get really nervous. And so it was that anchor to the idea of the only thing that you need to do to get over this hump. And again, right now, AI is far away from you because you're not in that world. And so to get rid of that fear, to just get into it, you have to be curious. And so whenever you step into something or you hesitate, just approach it as in, huh, I wonder. Make that phrase in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the only thing. You don't need to ask a question to anybody. Just be curious.
Yeah, be curious. And here's the other thing. Empower your team to be curious. Tell your team, I need you to use this. Here's a new tool. I need you to use it. Let me know how it went. Give me your feedback. Did you like it? Did it help you? It's supposed to help them do their job, like better at their job.
Yeah.
And my whole goal with Leia is that we can grow our companies without more overhead, without more office staff, without more VAs, right? Without more salespeople. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Like I used Leia yesterday to create a spring cleaning package for Organize It, right? Everything I put inside of Leia, all you guys get, by uh-huh. the way, every time I'm talking with her, communicating with her, all my information is going back up to the core brain and coming back down to you. Now, my information is scrubbed out, like my business name or anything like that, like my pricing. But the core information, that's where AI is so cool. We can use it for a sounding board to like help us accelerate the outcome. And we're uploading new information every day. I just uploaded the hundreds and hundreds of HR documents. So she now is like, she's an HR specialist.
We have thousands of pages of backlog and every day it's growing.
I have a full-time uploader who is uploading new content, new information, new verbiage into Leia. She's full-time. She was hired to be my assistant and she's turned into the uploader.
Yeah. And so jokingly, she's not an uploader, but I call her the maintainer.
She's the maintainer.
because she's got a really sharp brain for, I would say quality control, but really it's about the fine details. It's that organized brain.
Yeah, it's be curious. But here's the other thing. During your weekly meetings, carve out an AI section in your weekly meetings. Ask your team and yourself, what AI tools are we currently using? Why are we using them? Like, what are we helping? And then if there was a tool I wish I had to help me do my job, what is that?
Even if you don't have the name of a tool or whatever, but the idea of, if I wish I had a tool that could.
Yeah, because this is going to help you stay competitive in your area. This is going to help you accelerate outcomes. This is going to help you encourage your team to use these tools. Because the old-fashioned way, here's the thing though. I do think the future of all business, home service or software, all the future of all business, you're going to have to have two segments of people. That's it. Two segments of people. You're not going to need a scheduler, right? You're not going to need certain people for certain things because AI will be able to do your scheduling. You're going to need people, which are customer centric, customer success, very high touch, very engaging people. And then you're going to need tech enabled people. People that can build automations, workflows. They understand AI. They're doing audits of who's using AI. How are we using it? How can we accelerate the outcome? What AI tools should we be using? What are the new ones on the market?
And so I want to make a distinction here. And it's not that there's going to be two routes in business. Either you use AI or you don't, because that's not what we mean in terms of tech forward or people forward. Because the people forward are still going to need to use AI and have yep. that basis. So the way that I split it or distinguish the difference is that you have creators and you have consumers. The consumers don't need to know how it works underneath the hood. They just need to be curious and be able to ask those questions. So these would be your technicians as well, is being consumers of AI, not being afraid to ask a question to hey, Leia, how do I get out this stain on the floor in a wood stained flooring.
Yep. I want to share, we have over 200 cleaning companies currently using Leia. 200 cleaning companies. I'm thinking it was 199. So almost, well, that was last week's numbers. I don't know yep. what this week's numbers are. 199. So that means Leia is extremely smart because whatever they're putting in it, Like if I'm asking it questions, it's she's getting smarter and smarter so that yours get smarter and smarter.
Yeah.
It's about an abundance mindset when it comes to AI. And knowing how to give pointers or recommendations if a cleaning technician has a problem or if your salesperson doesn't know how to an objection, right? Like how do they handle an objection? I can tell you right now, Leia knows it because I've already preloaded it in there.
Mm-hmm.
How do they create an offer for cleaning? Well, she can do it because I preloaded it in there. I preloaded some Alex Hormozi prompts inside of there as well because I read money models. And yeah. So then I made models for cleaning. But it's like Chris said, they have to have the ability to ask the question to consume the information, or they have to be able to build. Did you call it a builder?
Creator.
Creator, right? To create the prompt or to create. Actually, you know, in our cleaning companies, a lot of them will be consumers.
Yeah. Even the business owners. Like you were saying before.
Yeah, a lot of them will be consumers. You're consuming the information, but it's also how do I make our AI smarter and smarter and smarter?
Mm-hmm.
Is our Google integration live in Leia?
It is.
So yeah, we just launched. Leia now has a Google integration.
Google Workspace.
So that means you can connect it to your Google Drive. And the difference between Leia.
Google Drive and Google Chat.
Google Chats.
We have a lot of things about to be released here very soon.
Yeah.
Based on that. And we also have Slack, which just rolled out as well.
A Slack integration with Leia. Because our businesses, believe it or not, no matter if you're in cleaning or lawn care or power washing or window washing, your businesses are ran in those chats.
All of the most valuable information that your business currently has is not on a document. I can guarantee you it's not on a document. It's not on a spreadsheet. It lives inside of your chats. And if we're dismissing chats as just an everyday function, and not treating it as real raw data, then we're missing out. This is the difference between taking tribal knowledge, something that can live and die by a single person, and once they leave, it's gone, or being able to take that and pull it into your company and start to have real things that are captured. And actually, this is what can improve for valuations of...
Yeah. So, you know, there's some great questions. Is there a instructions for that? Not currently. It literally just released, I think, on Friday, yesterday. So we'll have to build out instructions.
We are working on building out instructions as well as actually having it guide you through a couple different things to handhold you through that setup.
Yeah. And then I go live every Tuesday to answer your questions, bottlenecks about business, leadership, and also We share the newest Leia updates ever.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.
Tuesday at 12 noon. And then all of our recordings, whether it's a workshop, a Tuesday live, or this will be in our community.
Yeah, 12 noon Eastern.
Yes. So I think these are really good questions. One was, I'm currently building out my leadership team. So I think that is something that everyone really needs to reevaluate. With the change in technology and the speed at which we have information and knowledge available to us at our fingertips, I think you need to reevaluate what we thought leadership qualities were.
Mm-hmm.
They're different. I can guarantee you right now, I will not hire anyone in any company, cleaning or software, if they're not tech enabled. They have to understand it. And, you know, there was an article from Elon Musk that said by December of this year, if you can imagine something with enough detail, AI will be so advanced that it will be able to create it for you. So I predicted it would be 2 years last November when I was sitting at ISSA at a dinner table with Dom, Gosha, RJ, and you. We predicted it would be 2 years until we don't need to pay for a CRM anymore. Until we can think it and imagine it, and AI will be so advanced, it will create a version of our own CRMs.
Yeah.
I said 2 years. Dom said he thought less.
He thought 5 years.
No, he thought less time.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
No, I said 3 years.
Okay.
Dom said he thought it was less, more like 2 years. I just read an article last week that Elon Musk is predicting by December of this year.
Now, there's different degrees of it, but...
There's different degrees, but like if you can imagine it with enough detail and know how to tell it to AI, the AI will be so advanced that it will be able to code a software for you without having to know how to code.
Yeah. It's more of a I need a situation is where it can get to. And then real quickly back to, I didn't want to forget this.
But like the leadership, I think leadership needs to be evaluated. Who is your current leadership? How do they sit? They can't just be the bridge. They have to be tech enabled. They have to know software. They have to encourage team members to use it. No one's going to lose their job because of AI. They're going to lose their job because they're resistant to AI.
Yeah. And so I want to ask you this is before you determine or decide and say who is or who isn't leadership, because that is trying to decide an outcome before it even happens or before we even take action on what needs to happen. Instead of asking who is or who isn't leadership and defining that, what you need to ask is this person a creator or a consumer? And if you say, well, right now they're not a creator, then I'm going to stop it right there. Right now they're not leadership. And so if you're hesitant on trying to figure out and defining who your core leadership team is, are they a creator or are they a consumer? And you're going to have your answer.
Yeah. You know, like for me, my office team, they're consumers. I love all of them, but they're not creators. They're consumers. I've had to create everything, but they're great at following the process. They're great at using the tool. They're great at giving me feedback. But you know, I learned this a long time ago. This is why I kind of push back from EOS. At our size of companies, unless you're over 5-7 million, you're not really be able to afford real leadership.
Yeah.
They're just management, right? They're managing something that you created and put on like recurring.
Yeah.
Or like you fired it up. Very rarely can we find true leadership at the price we can afford to pay someone if we're under $5 to $7 million, you know? And if you do, you'll probably only have one, maybe two, but typically one at about 5 million.
Yeah. And I will tell you right now is a lot of people who you think are your consumers are not leadership right now. Keep an eye out because you might see them creating or the potential to create, but they're just misaligned. They're in the wrong seat.
Mm. Yeah, unfortunately, we had to let go. I had to let go. We started the call with letting go of people, cookie season, and if you can't handle it, don't poop.
Yep.
So I think that's why Amy Sip was like, what? I had to let go of someone who was a great person, and they've been with us 4 years, and it just turned into there was a fire for that position, and then they just got bored, and the output of results showed because it was mediocre output.
Yeah, yeah, and I think there's some chances there to think about repositioning or to kind of like move around those seats, but you know, it's really only if they have a knack for, you know, something bigger. It's the idea of the whole creator, like, can they create new insights, new knowledge, a new passion? Is there something there that you can grab onto? But, you know, for a lot of people, it's really hard to find it in the same company.
Yeah. And then you had mentioned about, you know, exiting, like acquisition. If any of my cleaning business owner friends are thinking about selling their business, are using their business for retirement, I highly encourage you to lean more into AI because it can actually make your business worth more money because it needs you less. It needs the owner less. If you could build the core brain, and we all know that companies that don't need an owner have a higher evaluation.
Yeah.
Companies with systems, with processes have a higher evaluation. That's what Leia AI is. It's all about helping you document your company, and we give you the entire infrastructure and backbone for that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're thinking about using your company as a retirement, using your company, or if you want to sell it, lean into these tools because they'll give you a higher evaluation.
Yeah. Simplify to scale.
Yeah. I mean, it's the truth. And then The other thing that no one talks about, and this is something that I'm extremely passionate about, use AI to help you document your business. That's what we're giving you, Leah. Leah's free. Here's the thing. How many of you guys want to open another business? Because if you're a true entrepreneur, you're not just happy with just your cleaning business or just your coaching business or just your window washing business. When you can document how you run a business, you can own 86 other businesses. How do you think I own 6?
And it's not dependent on you.
I have 6 entities right now. I'm using the same system, the same documentation. It's how I wrote One Layer Deep. And One Layer Deep was only one piece of how I document things. It was very, just one small piece. I'm using that to grow and build and scale other businesses. Business is business. But that's where we got the idea for Leia, was creating game plans and micro plays. And we're like, oh my God, this is very manual, but what if we used AI to help us do it?
Yeah.
But then, like, I run Root Recruit the same way. I run Organize It the same way. We launch Organize It the franchise. We have Sell, Convert, Clean. We're running, once you learn how to document your business doesn't need you anymore. I also feel a lot of people won't do it because they want to be needed.
It's a like scary thought to know.
It's sitting on the riverbank waiting for someone to drown just so you can be a hero.
Yeah. I remember that from somewhere.
But once you learn, like, use AI to document, to talk to, I'm giving you the entire infrastructure inside. But the cool thing is, once you document it, you can use that system to launch another business, to launch another passion, to launch a nonprofit. They all run the same. They all run the same. Everyone's like, I don't understand how you can do it. Some people private message me, how can you answer everyone? The businesses are running on my system. They're not running on me. And so that is like the cool thing about AI, is because you can use it to help you get to the outcome, and then you can multiply it or duplicate it.
Yeah. Which, Leia, again, I always love Leia.
I mean, if you want to run a software, all of my Woot Recruit information is inside of Leia.
Yeah.
You could say, I have like a Organize It Leia account, a Woot Recruit Leia account, a One Layer Deep Leia account. And then I have a Leia account I made as my personal assistant that I'm like uploading my own things, like the bills for the building and the vacation rentals. And
so here's how far it even goes with this idea of, once you do it once, you can do it hundreds of times over. Is we're even to the point now, say, what else can we do it for? We are rolling out a Leia for kids, mm-hmm. because we want Yaya and Austin to be able to have the tools in a way that works for them, that's not so heavy business, but for their age and what they're focused on, to be able to have something as a supporting, like, backbone. And we see how Yaya's using Aura right now with Grok. She's extremely curious. And so why don't we keep that running and keep that going? Give them somewhere that they can do that. I know a lot of other business owners here who have other kids that have these side gigs, these things that they're trying to, like, just
candy. Freeze-dried candy.
Being able to do custom artwork.
Custom artwork, Jen. Yeah.
Yep, I have I have Jen's son who's currently creating a...
skateboard.
A custom skateboard for me that should be here soon, like the next month.
Okay.
So we'll talk more on that later. But all these businesses, and it's just, they're like one question away from turning it into a bona fide, full-fledged revenue-generating machine that they love. I'm not just talking about like hustling for the sake of money to get money, but more on a passion project that they can turn into recurring revenue.
Yeah. And so when we get Leia for kids made, we'll let you know for sure. Because the OS system, the operating system, or all those documents inside of Leia, they're applicable to any business. We have a lot of coaches around us telling us, oh, you like, it's specific to cleaning or specific to this or that or lawn care. No, business is business. The only thing to me specific is the actual action of like cleaning a house or a window or power washing a driveway. But how you run a business, how you hire people, how you train leadership, how you uplevel yourself, those are all very, very universal.
And a lot of our frameworks, yeah, they might have started because it was inside of a cleaning business or inside of a software business. A lot of our frameworks that we actually built and designed specific to an issue that we had, we ended up repurposing it and kind of reimagining it to see how it would stand up against every industry.
Yeah, and I would say a lot of our information actually came from SaaS Academy.
Yeah.
SAS Academy. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, SAS Academy was Dan Martell's group, and from years ago. I always say I knew Dan before he was famous. We watched him get famous right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
And I took all my books down, my booklets, and it's like this tall. And I said, these are how many private SAS Academy Dan Martell events I've been to.
Yeah.
Like, it's this thick. And I was like, wow, you know how much money that is right there?
Yeah.
I was like, and a lot.
At the very top, the very last booklet that's sitting on top has your picture in it.
Has my picture in it. Because it's like full circle. I got to speak at the very last boardroom event. I got to be a speaker when I had signed on as a student. For me, like, and that, you know, seeing that whole pile and then I got to be on top, for me was like kind of surreal. But that's where we learned so many frameworks from. So many that even though he was a SaaS coach, I use in my cleaning business to this day. And that's why our cleaning business looks a lot a bit different than the average, or runs a lot a bit different than the average.
It's built on adaptability, flexibility, and speed.
Yeah. Yeah. I built it like a software, to be honest. And that's what kind of makes us stand out and makes us look different. Yeah. And so I think as you interview and hire people going forward, whether they're field technicians, whether they're VAs, especially your VAs, or if you're hiring sales or leadership, you need to start incorporating some tech and AI questions into your interview process. You don't need to be the expert. You don't need to understand it. You need to hire people who do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. You guys might think like, I know everything. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I know how to hire people to get what I want. I don't know how to code.
Right.
I only know how to use an AI. I wanted to build one. But, you know, when you say you're a consumer or you're a builder, I have the idea. I'm willing to take the risk. And what I've seen, like Chris and our tech team output, because I'm willing to take the risk, it's been phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal. There's no one doing what we're doing in our cleaning industry. Or even in home service, no one.
Yeah.
Everything I've ever taught, everything I know is inside Alea. Everything. There's no even reason to pay for information right now.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I've dropped out of every program I've been in right now. There's no reason to pay for information when it's at your fingertips, whether it's ChatGPT or Grok or Alea. Mm-hmm. I've dropped out of everything because information is so accessible right now. And we're all getting smarter. People are getting smarter, which I think is super cool.
Yeah.
We're getting smarter. And so you can't sell us the same old crap. You can't sell the same old stuff to smarter people. We're all getting smarter. But where I think we're going with like coaches and programs is more for one-on-one coaches.
Yep.
Because I can get information that a program gives me from AI, but I can't get the connection, the human.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we'll have, even in your service businesses, the human will always still be needed.
Yeah. Accountability and execution.
Yeah. This is going to be a strong statement, but I would like to challenge all of you guys to stop going to certain things like learning calls, webinars, programs that you pay for, and go ask AI the question that you have to see, does it give you the output you're looking for? Because here's the thing, and the reason I'm going to challenge you guys for this is, here's the thing, it may give you the answer you're looking for, and it may not. And so if it doesn't, then show up for the call. Then go to the call. But information is so available right now. It's so available. And if you have to wait for the monthly coaching call, the monthly webinar, you're slow to your, like, are your competitors asking AI, can you get the information faster?
Yeah.
Because you still need to build, you still need to implement. So you still need to show up to some calls because you might have questions, you might get stuck. But to get the answer you're looking for, I challenge you to ask AI because you can get the answer faster.
Yeah. For it's more on a personal note here about, you know, people and learning is, you know, you'll have people who are lifetime learners, but never execute a day in their life. And that's a scary thought for me, because I want to have something to show for what I've done. But typically when we are seeking out or learning something, it's because we don't feel confident that we can take action or do something or
we don't trust ourselves.
Understand ourselves. Yeah. Or understand what to do or how to do it confidently. And so what we're doing is we're looking for or seeking confidence in others.
So, man, I had this great teacher. He was also extremely hot. I went to he was good looking. Okay, I'm just gonna give you that. I tried to hook up his sister.
Oh yeah.
But he taught this thing where what Chris just said, if we're not confident in our ability or we don't know how to execute something, we tend to seek help from a peer, a person, a group, or a mentor. And he said, we were always taught to, we're borrowing that confidence, that exchange, but it's always short-lived because when you borrow something from someone, they didn't teach you how to get it. They didn't teach you how to become confident. You're just borrowing it from them. Like, how many times have we felt that? Like, people say, oh, borrow. And I used to say this too when I mm-hmm. coached, like, oh, borrow my confidence. That was wrong of me. I shouldn't have said that because yeah. I wasn't teaching them how to create their own, because when you borrow it, it's temporary.
Yeah. So I want to reframe this real quick. For those who have children, who have kids, I shared a post earlier, and it was a Gary Vee that had mentioned it, but about the idea of coddling your children, because what you're doing is when you coddle them early on, you create dependencies in them later. And then there's just this, they don't understand what to do or how to do things in real life. So it's teaching them life early. Otherwise, they're either entitled or they can't move on their own. And again, it's the same dependency. It's that codependency because they lack the confidence to do things themselves because it's always been somebody else. And so we say, don't coddle our children. And everybody would say, absolutely, yes, I agree 100%. I want you to reframe this and ask yourself, am I coddling myself by seeking out other training, seeking out other learning, seeking out other things? Am I coddling myself? And answering it, yes or no. If you can confidently say absolutely not, then that's great. But if you're a maybe or a yes, like I tell our kids and Austin, is that if you say something and it's not an absolutely, then it's probably the other side. If you're coddling yourself, you can't absolutely say you're not, then you probably are.
So you know, this is a totally off the AI topic, but this has to do with Chris's, are you coddling yourself? And so, you know, I seen a picture of someone that I know and I kind of felt bad. I felt bad for them. They're struggling with weight. They don't look the best and they have a coach and they're in a program. And, you know, I said to Chris, you know, shame on that program and shame on that coach. Why? Because if they're to me, and so a lot of coaches and other programs could disagree, they're coddling the members, they're coddling the people. You know, when you have a great coach, and yes, this is even business coaches, this is mindset coaches, you would see an external transformation because business has to do with your mindset, right? Your health, pushing you to the next level. You're getting your mind to the next level. And that has to do with consistency and health. And I said, you know, I understand how they're feeling because when I was in a group, I gained weight. I was more miserable than I am now. The second I stepped into SAS Academy with Dan Martell, I changed my externally, everything changed about me. The way I showed up, the way I ate, the way I looked, because he was not going to let you be subpar. He would call you out. He would tell you to share your screen. Show me your calendar. What are you eating? I don't care if it has to do with business. And I see this in a lot of programs and people are talking about budget and cutting expenses and it being a hard time. You know, I see this in programs and in coaches. Look at yourself and look at what you're paying for. Look at that bank statement and, externally, are you happy when you look at yourself versus saying, is this program just coddling me or is this program pushing me to the next level? Like that is like a hard conversation to have. And I paid a lot of money to be in a room with someone like Dan and have never been able to find another coach like him. I've tried a few.
Yeah.
Personal coaches, group coaching programs, but, And that's because there are a lot of other people that can coach well and really push you to the next level. I mean, where do you go from Dan Martell? That's why I said I haven't been able to go from there.
We'll settle on somebody.
Yeah. But I'm still writing off of what he taught me.
Yeah.
Still, to this day.
And can still execute on a lot of it.
Still execute. Still learning his frameworks. Still using his frameworks. But my challenge to you, like Chris said, are you coddling your kids? Are you coddling yourself? If you're paying top dollar for like a program or a coach, look at yourself. That program might be coddling you instead of pushing you. And you look back and you're like, man, yeah, I was just playing it safe. Mm-hmm. I was comfortable. And some of the stuff I was doing, it wasn't pushing me to the next level.
I will say that in the groups that I've seen the most transformation in myself, the common theme or the common trend of for me was that I was always uncomfortable in those rooms. Mm-hmm. I was always uncomfortable. And by having that, it was, again, the same thing that I'm doing right now, where it's in One Layer Deep, the book. It's crystallizing. It's forcing this element of discomfort in a way that it'll push people much further than they could themselves. It's drinking through the fire hose. We're doing that with our employees right now in tech enabling them and AI enabling them. They're drinking through the fire hose. It's the best times that I've been able to transform myself have been in rooms that made me feel very uncomfortable.
Yeah. And, you know, so I think it's one, an amazing time to be alive. Like, it's phenomenal. You have a 27-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 7-year-old. They're all AI enabled, all of them.
Yeah.
That's the future. Forget public school because they ain't going to teach our kids anything. We're self-enabling them through tools and platforms and what they want to do in the future. And then, you know, as far as the rooms go with being uncomfortable, I challenge you. Are you staying in rooms because they're coddling you? Everyone in the group is, or the thing is telling you you're great. Oh, that's amazing. That's a great idea. Versus when we would show up for a room, when we should show up for a call, we were scared that Dan was going to scream at you.
If you didn't ask the right question in the right way, he would call you out.
He would call you out or say, share your screen right now. I want to see your calendar. I want to know if you're as committed as you just said you are.
You're sweating.
Like, you're like, oh my God. And like, that is like, stop coddling yourself and learn how to up level, because I stayed in rooms way too long because I was paying to be coddled. And then, you know, with my 27-year-old, I'll be honest, I coddled him. I was whatever Gary Vee said to stop doing, I did to my 27-year-old. Yeah. My 17-year-old, on the other hand, he's standing over there. He can hear me.
He got a mix of both.
Well, he got a mix of both, but he's my remote. Like, he pays his own bills. He's got his job. He's non-coddled.
Yeah. not non-spoiled, but non-coddled.
He's laughing right now as he walks by. We learned our lesson. And you only know what you know when you're a parent.
Yeah.
Just like when you sign up for something, you only know what you know, but... You know, I have to say in 2025, I learned more in 2025 by actually executing, trying it, making the mistake. And I stopped the overlearning. I stopped the coddling. I stopped coddling myself. I stopped coddling our employees. And I got in execution mode. And I stopped overlearning. And I just started doing and trying. And then you're like, oh, well, that sucked.
Yeah.
Like, well, that sucked. Don't do that again. Or that was great. And I learned more in a year of execution than in all of my years, even of SAS Academy, all of the years. I was in, I think I was in CBF for 7 years. I was in SAS Academy for 5 years. I've paid hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to be in groups. And I learned more in 2025, executing, doing, which is really interesting. Then I learned, I grew more as a person in that year than I did in any year because I stopped coddling myself.
Yeah. And if you're ever stuck at a decision point where you're really, really nervous or unsure if you can do something, I just want you to say one thing to yourself. And this is what I repeat to myself as well. I've replaced hesitation with this. I want you to tell yourself, game on. Whatever it is that you hit and it scares the crap out of you, game on. That's now what I switched to.
So I want to talk to all the women out there. I want to talk to the women out there. We have more fear than men. I just want to put that out there. We do. We're not as confident as our male counterparts when it comes to business. Men are inherently more confident. It's just their DNA. It's the way they're made. And I can relate with you guys because I don't want you to think that I am fearless. Like, I have no fear. The one thing that I can tell you that changed my mindset is fear is like fake. It's false. It's not real. You have fear because you have lack of either education or information. And so it makes you more scared. And so then we think we need to learn everything, right?
And fear by definition is hesitation to do something that hasn't happened yet, meaning that it's in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened yet.
No, and so I learned that with the fear, it wasn't real, right? You're imagining the worst case scenarios. It was funny. We were visiting Eric and Debbie M's in Mexico. And that was like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. We're visiting them in Mexico. And we went to the hotel early and we're just like sitting on the beach and watching this like windsurfer come across the ocean, right? And we haven't met Debbie and Eric yet. And we're just sitting there on these like beds. And I told Chris, I said, here, I'm thinking, how the hell is he going to get back to where he started? Because he's just going in a straight line and the wind is blowing that way. And I'm like, how are they going to turn around and get back? That's where I go. And I said, most people would be like, oh my God, the shark's going to eat my arm off. While I'm like, that's what they're thinking. I'm thinking logistically, how's he going to turn around and get back?
Point A, point B.
My fear is I can't get home. Like, I can't get back. And here comes Eric Ems. He's like, oh my God, I didn't see you guys here. He's like, check out that windsurfer. It's super cool. He goes, my mind goes to blood everywhere. The shark is eating my arm off.
And
he's describing it. And I was like, see, Chris, I just told you that's what like everybody goes to, the fear.
Yeah.
My brain goes to like logistics. How's he going to get back? And I think it's funny and it's humorous because we do the same thing in business. We fear something that may not ever happen. Like, what are the chances that the shark is going to come eat my arm off while I'm windsurfing? Well, one, it'd eat my leg before it ate my arm.
Yeah.
But in business, we have that same fear. And because it depends on how hyper sparkly your brain is, some people's fear is more imaginative, is worse. Mine isn't gory or graphic. Mine is more logistic. Versus like Chris's would be the shark eating his leg off.
Yeah.
It just would be, but mine isn't.
In detail.
In detail.
HD.
Mine's more like, can I meet payroll? Numbers. And so the fear is what's paralyzing us, but the fear isn't even real or rational most of the time. But you got to try it. You got to get over the fear. Oh, you know, Chris says, game on. My saying is, what's the worst thing that's going to could happen?
Yeah.
Like, what's the worst thing that could happen? It's not as bad as the worst thing in your mind. Yeah. But back to my women in business, guys, we operate different than men in business. So I want you to watch who we follow. I love Gary Vee. I love Dan Martell. They have this error, this confidence, this crazy confidence that when you see it in a woman, you think, oh my God, she's a BTICH. You see it and then you're like, man, it's really hard for us to get that level of confidence. It comes off very brass or very harsh or very direct. We just operate different and lean into that different. Lean into the fact that we are more empathetic, but be okay with it. But know that we have that fear and just say, okay, how do I get around this? What's the worst thing that would happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not as bad as the shark eating my leg off.
Right.
It's not. What's the best thing that would happen? It's funny because we never think of the best thing that would happen. We always think of the worst thing that would happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because we suck at certain things in business. Women, we do. I'm just going to put it out there. We do. But we're great at other aspects. Every year, corporations pay for their male CEOs to go get empathy training. I'm not making this up. It's just true. Because our male CEOs, our male leadership, they don't have the empathy quality that we naturally have. Women, we naturally have. Now, sometimes we're too empathetic, but we have a superpower. And so I think just knowing that and watching it and embracing it and saying, hey, my superpowers, I can treat humans like humans, but my weakness is I have to learn how to be more assertive. And that is true. And that was probably one of the biggest lessons I had to learn in business. And even with my kids, being empathetic with the kids versus just always being extremely assertive. I was overcompensating for being a woman.
Yeah. To prove yourself.
To prove myself. Like I was trying to prove myself. Yeah. Yeah. We just, it is a normal thing. We just don't have that confidence. We can have confidence, but we're not naturally born and bred that way. We're naturally born and bred to be caretakers. We are.
It's
Why do you think
DNA.
It's in our DNA? Why do you think the majority of like cleaning business owners and cleaning technicians, the majority are women. We are natural caretakers.
No, and by in DNA, women have a better, higher register of frequencies. They can hear higher pitch frequencies much more clearly and
prominently. Is that why we get annoyed so easily?
It probably is, but the reason why is because women were designed to, with the higher frequencies, be able to catch their babies crying.
Because men don't care.
Because men don't care. But no, like...
Chris is a former audio engineer, so he's very versed on sound. So yeah. He knows these weird, random things.
So you're not going crazy is what I'm trying to say. But lean into what you are.
Yeah. No, and I did. And for us, when we leaned into what I am a woman business owner, I'm going to embrace that, but also learn the weakness I have. Man, it changed the way I run our companies.
Yeah.
You know, it changed everything about how I lead and manage people. You know, when I had to have that difficult conversation yesterday with a person we had to, you know, let go of, and we might reposition them if they can do it, and maybe we will, and maybe we won't. But I had that conversation as a business owner, but as a woman as well. And a mom, like, hey, we love you. We think you're a great person, but man, you're sucking it up.
Yeah.
Your job right now.
I think those were some of the exact words that you used.
Words I used. I was like, I can't like keep you here. I don't know what to say. And they were. And it's not because they didn't care. It's just, it wasn't in their superpower. It wasn't in their wheelhouse anymore. And, you know, it's okay to be upset. And I think all, you know, I heard a Cody Sanchez video saying, you know, you're supposed to never cry in business. Then I heard Layla Hormozi said, what do you mean never cry in business? Of course I'm going to cry. It's okay to cry. So we're getting all these weird mixed signals from people. And I just find it humorous because I'm like, I'm going to do whatever I want. Whatever I want and however I feel is how I'm going to react.
I can't so just sit here and cry.
Yeah. So this has been all over the place, from AI to leadership to women in business.
Yeah. And having to deal with crap at home.
Having to deal with crap. But then also challenge yourself, right? We said, don't wait for that call to ask your question. Don't wait for that coaching call, that program. Ask AI. See if you can get your answer faster.
Be curious.
Be curious, because you still got to build yours, execute, and then you're going to have even more questions you could ask on that coaching call or in that program. You can accelerate the outcome.
I'm laughing right now because my dog is having a blast playing with himself, tossing a ball.
He has a bouncy ball that lights up.
Well, he tore out the lights part and got it, destroyed it, but now he has the bouncy part. So he's having
a blast. But everything to the last part is looking at yourself and asking, is this program, this coach, this thing I'm in challenging me?
Yeah.
Or is it coddling me? Are you that kid, that Gen Z kid being coddled right now? I think it's a serious question to ask yourself.
What's your inner child?
Yeah. I don't know. I found that I was staying in places because I was being coddled and I was scared to execute.
Yeah.
Because you're scared to make a mistake. But here's the thing, at the end of the day, you could copy all of my stuff. You could copy all of somebody else's stuff. You could copy somebody's job ad, and none of it matters until you actually execute. You got to make the mistake yourself. You have to ask yourself, you have to make the mistakes. That's the one thing, that's why I think I learned so much in 2025 is I had to make the mistakes myself to really up-level myself.
Yeah.
Because the copying, the using other people's, and that's why like Leia and the OS system that I made.
Yeah.
You're not copying my system. It's teaching you how to make your own system. You're always going to be stuck until you make the mistakes yourself. Well, here's the dog.
He's out of breath.
Say hi, Rocco. Hi. He's out of breath. Until you make those mistakes yourself, you can't up-level yourself.
Yeah. So my takeaway from all this is, you know, thinking at it now. But my takeaway here, what I'm going to take away for myself is, you know, I think with us learning and seeking out knowledge, and if we're not confident in ourselves, we're going to seek that out somehow. Otherwise, we would kind of pull it in and do something with it, execute it. But at the end of the day, we're all, there's an inner child, and I laugh because I say this, there's an inner child in all of us. And I think really we're raising ourselves. We are teaching ourselves. And I think we should take the same approach. And the same that we would approach raising our children is, do we want to coddle them? Or do we want them to go through the hardships and make those mistakes so that later on they will become more independent and more confident? And so who do we want this future self to be with our inner child? I think that's, for me, what I'm taking away from this.
Yeah. I mean, I would look at, if you're being coddled, look for a coach, a program, a thing, even a software. There's some softwares out there that are great that have weekly trainings and, you know, do certain things like the cleaning software and ZenMade and Made Central. You know, the rooms I'm showing up in, are they coddling me? And if you feel like you're being coddled, look for a new room. Look for a new room. This is the funny part. So I was talking to Tiffany Welch the other day. We went to New Orleans. She met me for lunch and she's like, I asked every coach to help me with something and no one could help me. And I was like, wait a minute. You didn't ask me. I was a coach in that program. She goes, well, to be honest, I was kind of scared of you. And I'm not saying to hire me as a coach, but what I'm trying to say is if the coach makes you feel comfortable, the program makes you feel comfortable, the webinars, the modules, this makes you feel comfortable, I would question, should I look for a new person that scares the bejesus out of me? Like scares, makes me uncomfortable, scares me. Next level, they're going to ask me, because if you've ever done a coaching session with me, you know I'm going to ask you, what's a personal win? I don't care about your work. If you're just doing day to day, you're not building the system. The system is what we need to build, but what's your personal win?
Yeah.
And so many people, I said, you can't show up to call with me if you don't give me a personal win. Like, you got to give me one. And it was funny when she said, well, I was like, you said you had a call with every coach. You didn't have a call with me. And it's funny because so many people in the past said they didn't book a call with me or they wanted a call, but I'm scared of you. That should tell you that that's the right coach for you. A coach that scares you, a program that scares you, not one that keeps you comfortable. And I'm not selling coaching or a program. I'm selling you the question to ask yourself.
Yeah.
Does it scare you? Are you nervous to show up? Are you nervous that they're going to remember something you said because they're going to ask you about it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they not even know your name? Yeah. That's the challenge. Because here's the thing. With AI and technology, all information is now available at our fingertips. All.
But the decision to execute is still you.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting time. I do think AI will collapse the programs that we all paid for. I think they're going to become lesser and far. They're the bridge. But I think some intimate coaching will make a comeback.
Yep.
I think intimate coaching will make, like, one-on-one, like the non-scalable type of coaching.
Right.
Will make a huge comeback as AI and technology emerge. That's my prediction as far as what we see as far as mentoring and programs and learning when it comes to being a business owner. Because mm-hmm. Look at what you can get on YouTube.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like, it's insane the amount of information on YouTube. Like, I follow this marketing guy. He gave a 6-hour course, everything he knows. He used to do Gary Vee's marketing. Dan recommended him to me. He did a 6-hour YouTube video on everything he knows about marketing for free.
For free.
For free. But people undervalue it because it was free. But everything is free now. Everything is free. It's insane. The only thing you're paying for is access to a person now.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. I mean, it's kind of cool right now to look at that. All right, guys, we're going to wrap up. Caitlin said, well, I was expecting Rocco to be a big, huge dog.
Oh, no.
No. We have a big, huge dog.
That thing is outside.
I don't know where she is. She's 150 pounds. She is a Mastiff and Great Dane with an American Bulldog mix.
So she's Danish and an American Bulldog. Mm-hmm. So she looks like Scooby-Doo.
She looks like Scooby-Doo. She's 150 pounds. She's a giant. That's the big dog. She's snoring or sleeping somewhere.
This is Rocco.
Yeah, he's not giant. He's got a giant personality. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. I think this was a great talk. Again, all over the place, because we're just here to answer questions, dive deep on certain things.
This is all the randomness that we talk through on our own morning dates.
Oh, this is how random it goes.
Yeah.
From AI to leadership to firing to
sparkly ideas to pooping.
To pooping.
Yeah.
to kid. We have kids and dogs, so yeah.
We want to share that with you. And again, we figured that Saturdays were a great time to do it. And just to kind of like circle back around just everything that we've experienced through the week and talk about that. So.
Oh yeah, and we had our wedding anniversary.
We did.
Wednesday? Tuesday.
14 years, right?
14 years.
Yeah.
On the 17th. Yeah, so we celebrated that this week.
Yes. Yeah.
Chris took me out to eat, even though I was kind of sick. Yeah. Still. I managed to get through it.
Yeah.
14 years.
It is, yeah.
Almost half your life, Chris.
Almost. We were joking about that, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Not half my life. I'm older than Chris. But yeah, so it was an entertaining week.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Bye, guys.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.